Welcome to Nightlights. This is David Brent Johnson, and for the next hour, we'll be listening to the music that tenor saxophonist John Coltrane made during a key year in his career and life. It's Train 57, coming up on this edition of Nightlights. Pianist Thelonious Monk and tenor saxophonist John Coltrane performing Evidence at Carnegie Hall in November 1957 with Ahmad Abdul-Malik on bass and Shadow Wilson on drums, a concert that was discovered nearly 50 years after the fact and released on Blue Note, giving us a much deeper look at the Monk-Coltrane Quartet. Addiction is often the crooked twin of creation. Tenor saxophonist John Coltrane, like some other jazz musicians of the late 1940s and 1950s, was dogged for several years by a heroin habit that threatened to destroy his career even as it was beginning. Coltrane had paid dues as an R&B journeyman and worked with Dizzy Gillespie and Johnny Hodges before joining trumpeter Miles Davis's quintet in 1955, gaining the highest profile he'd ever had in the jazz world. But Davis, who heard the explosive potential in Coltrane's sound, grew exasperated with the saxophonist's drug-related problems and fired him twice, the second time in early 1957. It would prove to be the turning point, year zero in the eventual Coltrane legend. He kicked his addiction to drugs and alcohol, made his first records as a leader, including the acclaimed Blue Train, and worked extensively with jazz master Thelonious Monk. His playing brimmed with a new vitality as he developed his so-called sheets of sound technique, using long, rapid lines to stack up chords. Critics today still write with astonishment of the rapid evolutionary change that listeners can hear in Coltrane's playing from this year. He later wrote that, "During the year of 1957, I experienced, by the grace of God, a spiritual awakening which was to lead me to a richer, fuller, more productive life. In gratitude, I humbly ask to be given the means and privilege to make others happy through music. I feel this has been granted through His grace. All praise to God." John Coltrane and Straight Street on Nightlights. John Coltrane doing Like Someone in Love from a 1957 date that unintentionally turned into a saxophone trio when the pianist failed to show up, with Earl May on bass and Art Taylor on drums, from the prestige album Lush Life. Before that, Coltrane's composition Straight Street, with Johnny Splann on trumpet, Sahib Shihab on baritone sax, Mal Waldron on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Tootie Heath on drums, from the 1957 prestige album Coltrane. Recordings from a period in which Coltrane successfully overcame an addiction to heroin and alcohol. In the spring of that year, he sequestered himself in his cousin Mary's house in Philadelphia and kicked his habit cold turkey. Afterwards, he threw himself entirely into music, as he told jazz fan August Bloom in a 1958 interview.
About that time, I made a decision, you know, like myself. That's when I stopped drinking and all this stuff. And I was able to play better right then, you know.
Did you used to drink heavily?
Yeah. So about the time that he started the group, I stopped drinking, you know. Found I could, everyone, that helped me in all kinds of ways when I started drinking. I could play better, sing better, everything. And his music was, that was stimulant.
John Coltrane speaking in 1958 about his decision to abandon drugs and alcohol the year before. In addition to his first leader dates, John Coltrane appeared on a number of recordings in the signal year of 1957, either as a co-leader or a sideman, with players such as Mal Waldron, Red Garland, Johnny Griffin, Art Blakey, and Paul Quinichet. Some were loose collective all-star dates or jam sessions. Others, like hard bop pianist Sonny Clark's Sonny's Crib, were tighter, more planned affairs. We'll hear Coltrane now with Clark doing Speak Low on Nightlights.
We'll be right back.
Pianist Sonny Clark doing Speak Low with John Coltrane on tenor saxophone, Donald Byrd on trumpet, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Paul Chambers on bass, and Art Taylor on drums from the 1957 Blue Note album Sonny's Crib. We'll have more music from John Coltrane's transformative year of 1957 in just a few moments. Production support for this program comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffeehouse and Juice Bar on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. This is David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to Train 57 on Nightlights. We're playing the 1957 recordings of tenor saxophonist John Coltrane on this edition of Nightlights. To hear a previous program devoted to Coltrane's collaborations with pianist Red Garland, go to our website at nightlights.indiana.edu and click on the Shows tab. In 1957, John Coltrane made an album that many consider to be his first masterpiece, Blue Train. He was still under contract to Prestige, but he received a one-album release to record for Blue Note, a label respected for its well-rehearsed, carefully planned recording sessions. Coltrane filled the album with four of his own compositions, including this one, which represented a compositional breakthrough, Moment's Notice. As Lewis Porter notes in his biography of Coltrane, in this piece, Coltrane is preoccupied with placing changing harmonies under a repeated note in the melody. This exercise of finding different chords to harmonize the same note forces one to find some unusual chord connections, and I would suggest that sequences like this led partly to the unusual chord sequence of Giant Steps. Other writers have seen in this composition a foundation for much of Coltrane's 1960s music. John Coltrane and Moment's Notice on Nightlights.
Thank you.
John Coltrane doing his composition Moment's Notice from the 1957 Blue Note album Blue Train, with Lee Morgan on trumpet, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Kenny Drew on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums. John Coltrane would go on to rejoin Miles Davis in January of 1958 and to revolutionize the jazz world for the next 9 years before his untimely death at the age of 40 in 1967. That groundbreaking path began in 1957, and the most significant event for John Coltrane that year, along with giving up drugs and alcohol, was the musical relationship he developed with Thelonious Monk. Monk encouraged, sometimes forced Coltrane to explore different harmonic patterns and rhythms, and helped him open up a new approach to composition and improvisation. We'll hear a November 1957 concert performance and a studio recording from that same year. Along with this, John Coltrane in 1958 speaking with August Bloom about his time with Monk.
Well, I'd go by his house, you know, by his apartment, and get him out of bed, maybe, or something. And he'd wake up and load the piano and start playing, you know. He'd play anything, it might be just one of his tunes, you know. He'd start playing it, and he'd look at me, I guess, and so when he'd look at me, I'd get my horn, you know. And start trying to find what he was playing, and continue to play over and over and over and over, and I'd get this part, and then next time we'd go over it, I'd get another part, and he would stop and show me some parts that were pretty difficult, and if I had a lot of trouble, well, he'd get his portfolio out, you know, and I'd show him the music. He's got music, he's got all of them written, and I'd read it and learn it. He would rather a guy learn without reading, you know, because that way you feel it better. You feel it quicker when you memorize it, when you learn it by heart, by ear, you know. And so when I almost have the tune down, then he would leave me with it. You know, he'd leave me to practice it alone. And he'd go out somewhere, maybe go to the store, go back to bed or something. Mm-hmm. And I'd just sit there and run over to him. I had it pretty well, and then I'd call him and we'd play it down together. And sometimes we'd just get one tune a day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you before you actually felt you were ready to go down to the five spot and actually work as a regular unit, you know?
Well, as soon as he got the job at the five spot, we went right in, because just going over things that started earlier. We just, you know, I met him, you know, and I just started hanging around with him. You know, I went down and started going down to his house because I like that music, you know. And we'd already recorded one song, Monk's Mood.
Thank you. Thank you.
We close with tenor saxophonist John Coltrane and pianist Thelonious Monk doing Trinkle Tinkle from the Complete Riverside recordings made in 1957 with Wilbur Ware on bass and Shadow Wilson on drums. Before that, Monk and Coltrane doing Monk's Mood at Carnegie Hall in 1957 with Ahmad Abdul-Malik on bass and Shadow Wilson on drums on the Blue Note CD, Thelonious Monk Quartet with John Coltrane at Carnegie Hall. Thanks for tuning into this edition of Nightlights. You can hear many previous Nightlights programs, view playlists and videos, and read jazz news and commentary on our website at nightlights.indiana.edu. Production support for Nightlights comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. Nightlights is engineered by Michael Paskash and produced in the studios of WFIU at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. This is David Brent Johnson wishing you good listening for the week ahead.